This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. This interview is one in a series CIFA Radio 88.7 FM is conducting ahead of the federal 2025 election occurring April 28th. Our aim is to make a reasonable effort to showcase each candidate running in the Prince George Cariboo riding and the Prince George Peace River Northern Rockies riding, which both intersect our community of Prince George Clathie-Tenay. The intention of the series is to give each candidate an opportunity to share their goals and objectives for their respective ridings and give the audience a sense of who these people are. The following has been edited for clarity and brevity. We're on location at Madras Maple Cafe with Mary Forbes, who's running for the Green Party in the riding of Prince George, Peace River, Northern Rockies. Thanks for swinging through town on your busy campaign trail and chatting with us. To get in a bit of your background, you're hailing from Williams Lake, British Columbia, which is actually in the Cariboo Prince George riding. What motivated you to try to represent the riding one step further north? Do you have a connection in this area of the other world as well, or what motivated you to take that step?
Okay, so there I am, doom scrolling, and I find on my feed, become a candidate for the Green Party. I applied and ended up being a rabbit hole, and I filled out the application, and then they called me the next day and said, we'd love you to be a candidate, and it seemed surreal. Then I found out that in my riding where I live, where I was born and raised and grew up in Williams Lake, British Columbia, the Cariboo Prince George riding, there was already a candidate and she's been in place for a while and I knew her. She's a friend of mine from home, Jody Capling. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just support her and we'll work together. It'll be great learning. And they said, well, you know, Fort St. John, Fort Nelson, all the way up to the Alberta border, up to the Yukon and Vailmont out to the Rockies, there's no candidate up there. And I said, really? Well, you know, I used to work in the oil patch. I worked as an archaeologist for 7 years. I know the area. And I feel like the line that Ottawa drew between my electoral district and this electoral district, it doesn't necessarily define the needs of northeastern British Columbia. Like, we still struggle with all the same problems. And I feel like I can represent the people who might have a view to see the north in a different way.
A little more about you yourself. So you've mentioned you are experienced working archaeologist. What else rounds out your life? Who are you?
I'm one of those people who just love to learn, and I didn't love to learn in school. So coming out of school, and I love the way that school is changing so that students are learning like on land and in community and connecting with the Clathie-Tenay Nation and having elders in the school so that they can really understand this incredible place that we live in and the history, the depth of it that goes all the way back, not just the one that's a condensed colonized version. So being a lifelong learner, I've discovered that I learn best by doing. And I started my career as an archaeologist working in the oil patch. But right before that, I worked as a forensic anthropologist on the Picton investigation as a civilian search technician. So I feel personally connected to the victims of the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. It was a very hard job, but the ability to create closure and to ensure that some of those involved were able to be held to justice is something that I'm really proud to be a part of. From there, I worked in the oil patch and I alternated it. I was a unique snowbird in reverse. So in the oil patch, I worked in the winter only. As an archaeologist, could you imagine archaeology like Indiana Jones, and there's like deserts and it's nice and it was freezing cold, and we would take our soil samples out of the ground with a cement saw and then haul them out on snowmobiles and then load them in the truck and then bring them back to the office and then put it through a screen and make sure that we found all the artifacts. We actually had better recovery in the winter because it was such a diligent search system. It was so interesting. But I did that long enough to hurt myself. Have you ever tried to dig an old school snowmobile out of a snowbank when someone from the coast has driven it and they've never driven an old Tundra before in their lives? Because the old machines, like, you got to ride with one leg on the seat and it's about balance, and then like don't flood it or you flooded it again, and like Oh, hold the throttle open. No, that's not what... Anyway, so especially after the Impictan investigation, anthropologists and archaeologists from all over the country came to British Columbia. Then they flooded the oil patch looking for archaeology jobs. And a lot of them came to work in the wintertime as well. And I wasn't hired for my archaeological acumen, although I did end up being a field director. I was hired because I have small engine skills, I can start a chainsaw when it's flooded, I know how to drive a snowmobile, and I was a benefit that I could like maintain the equipment and find the archaeological potential. From there, in the summertime, I worked at Parks Canada as a park naturalist interpreter. My parents' failing health in Williams Lake returned me to Williams Lake so they could age in place. I feel like in a disposable society, I feel like our elders are sometimes put in that category, and I didn't want that for my family. And we had planned to have children as well, and I wanted them to grow up with my parents. I had my dad only for a little while. He passed on, but my mother carried on with us just until, sadly, just a month ago when she passed away, like 2 weeks before this election. I went back to my interpretation roots, and I've been providing educational, zero-waste, naturalist presentations and conversations with schools and community groups in Williams Lake and the region for 12 years. And my tagline is Trash Talks and Nature Walks.
Looking at the healthcare system, your experience with it, and potentially being an MP, a representative of the people for the region, what do you think needs to change in our healthcare system to make it better? What's the way forward for healthcare?
I think that our seniors need to be listened to. They're still sharp, they're still capable, and they are the ones that are experiencing like the challenges of just finding a way to get to an appointment with HandyDart if you're on dialysis but you still want to live independently. Or if you maybe have some invisible disabilities with some mental challenges and still being able to find a fulfilling and mentally fulfilling life and not just being pigeonholed away into a storage facility. I think we need to talk to the people who are experiencing it to not dismiss them, that their knowledge and experience really needs to be taken into account. And they have a lifetime of experience in the medical system. I think they are the number one resource for information on how we could do better. And I think a really great place is to look at the files of the ombudsman for each of our provinces, because those are the places that receive the complaints. And most definitely talk to Indigenous folks, like their experience with the racism of preconception and how their cultural needs are not always met. And that's the same for anybody's cultural needs. If you're going into the hospital, you should be met with respect and sensitivity to whatever your cultural norms are. Like, did you fill out the form? Oh, I didn't read it. It should be personal. It should be personal care.
What do you feel is the balanced way to either sustain the industry or transition to something sustainable so that there is something left after the resource extraction is complete? Your perspective as a northerner and someone who might actually represent that riding, what kind of message would you take to Ottawa?
I would take to Ottawa regarding the resource industry is that we need to look at it like, I think of it as like a car trip. Like, you're not just getting in the car, you got to make sure that you've got a full tank of gas. Like, we are still an oil-dependent country for heating and transportation over long distances. I most definitely did not drive here on a rainbow unicorn. I don't drive an electric car, I can't afford one. Like many people, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. And even doing this has been a bit of a challenge because I'm like figuring out like, oh man, I got to figure out this donation. It's hard to ask for donations when you're like an independent person and I'm an entrepreneur. And it's like, yeah, you know, help me put gas in my car as the Green Party so that I can go to the northern reaches of British Columbia so I can talk to people.
I have to add in too, as a northerner as well, many people in the north are not used to asking for things. You know, like this is the philosophy that a lot of us in the north have lived by and survived by. It served us really well. But to ask for something is a bit different.
And very often because we're overlooked. Like, I might have to tangent here, but look at the electoral system. First past the post, in every federal election, except for one, Ontario decides who the leader is. And so, being a learner who learns by doing, I decided to go to candidate school, which is running as a federal candidate. And I'm learning on the fly, and what I'm discovering is that a lot of people don't understand the difference in the options that we have potentially in front of us should we vote someone in who will keep their promise of electoral reform. So first past the post. Imagine you've got 10 glasses of water. You fill the first 6 glasses of water half full with red marbles. But every other glass, including 4 full with green marbles And the top of those first six that are three quarters full of red marbles, and you top it up with green. In total, there are more green marbles. But because of first past the post, which means out of the 10 glasses that are full of marbles, six of them have a majority vote for red marbles, means that the red candidate will get in. But the green marbles, though more people voted for that option, are unrepresented, which is unfair. Entire groups of people are unrepresented, and I don't think that that's the way that you want your democracy to run in Canada. So what about we do something like what they did in Alaska? So in Alaska, they were facing another electoral victory with Sarah Palin. And she doesn't really represent the interests of all Alaskans. So they did a proportional representation, which, looking at the sort of glasses full of marble situation, while Ms. Palin received more of the vote per representative, like those six glasses more than half full out of 10, more voters voted for Mary, and because of that, she got in. The same thing is happening in Ireland, where they have proportional representation, and it's completely changed the face of the way that people do elections. People are nice to each other, because you might get in as the third down the ballot because you're the nice person. Wouldn't that be beautiful to see an election where people are nice to each other? Sign me up for that one. Part of the reason why I'm running is that, like, the mudslinging, bloodying the nose of your opponent is disgusting. Don't waste my time with what they did. Like, tell me what you're going to do. And how are you going to get there? And how are you going to take me with you?
Yeah, thanks for breaking down the proportional representation aspect.
Right, I was talking about a car ride. Resource sustainability. If we know it's got a limited time, we know that there's not any more oil going into the ground. We're past peak oil. There's going to be a limited lifespan for it. And we know that we're sort of like milking that cow, and she's kind of done having calves. So we need to move to a situation where, on the car ride of life, I'm driving a gas car right now. I need to know that, like, in the future, what is going to be my option? Where am I moving into? Is it an electric car? I mean, there's a lot of resources that go into that too, and a lot of conflict. Are we going to come up with something better? But by putting science and thought and technology towards that, it's going to be our best opportunity to be able to move into a, like, sustainable future, is to really think about it. On that topic, how do you get the best thinkers into university? Make it free. Like, why are we chasing around student debt and spending millions of dollars chasing for debt when we could just forgive it, and then people could go to school for free, and the people who want to be there because they love learning or they want to learn something new, they just go. And it's no longer an Ivy League for people who make a lot of money, and that they get to go because they can afford it, not because they deserve it. I want all of the brains there. I want to be like Switzerland, where they've got an aerospace industry because they made their universities free. Then they're just full of smart people. I want all the smart people going to school, and I want them all coming up with solutions together. And I want everyone there. I want whoever you are. If you're visiting from another country and you have an opportunity to learn here, if you're Indigenous, make sure that you're in there. I want everybody learning so we can all come together with a really great solution for resource sustainability. Because in the future, like, we're in a pretty tough situation. We're in a pinch. And if we're going to keep doing business the way we've always done business with no plan, it's not going to be pretty. So instead, let's make a plan and start putting the infrastructure on the ground and work with the people who are in those resources and say, where do you want to transition? How can we transition you? And how can we make sure this works for you and works for everybody who depends on it?
What do you think is the most important thing to communicate to the electorate that you haven't met yet, that you haven't gone eye to eye with, that you've yet to hear your message? What do you want them to know about you?
I want to talk to you. And I want to hear what your concerns are. And if it's in a coffee shop or it's a town hall, if I'm elected as an MP, I promise not to embarrass you at question period. I promise to always be transparent and to talk to you in person and have town halls that are regular and not just a mail out. I'm going to come and see you and talk to you. And if you call me, I want to answer and get to you. Sometimes I think the list is going to be long, but I want to get through that list. And I want folks to feel like the green vote is sometimes a throwaway vote, especially with first past the post, or people will vote green because they're dissatisfied with other options. I want you to imagine that your green vote, every single one of them, is a very strong message to whoever becomes leader, that the priorities and the concerns that the Green Party are bringing forward on their platform are things that people who live in the North care about. So every green vote is a message that says, you know what, we care about housing, the opioid crisis, ensuring that people who are without homes and maybe in mental crisis are addressed, that the Indigenous reconciliation needs to be at the top of the list, and that we need to listen to each other with kindness. And if there's a prior generation that uses a word that maybe someone's uncomfortable with, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. That just means they grew up in a different generation and their knowledge and experience is still so valuable. So vote green and let whoever becomes the leader know that maybe free education is something that speaks to you. Thank you for having me on this interview in the traditional and unceded territory of the Kalitlitene people. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And if other folks want to talk to me, you can find me through the Green Party website. Just click on my profile and you can drop me a message and I'm happy to answer.
We're speaking to Mary Forbes, hoping to represent the Prince George, Peace River, Northern Rockies riding for the Green Party. Thank you for your time today, Mary, and good luck on the campaign trail. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.